Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chairam Namo Dhanarotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Dato Jayam Udirayat Nastaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Udama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. So if I'm not mistaken, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 25th chapter, 5th verse. Is that right? I guess so. Maitre uvacha pitari prastite ranyam patri prastite ranyam pitari prastite ranyam matu priya chikirshaya matu priya chikirshaya tasmin bindu sare vas vatsi Tasmin bindu sare vatsi Bhagavan kapila gila Bhagavan kapila gila Maitre uvacha Pitari prastite ranyam Matu priya chikirshaya Tasmin bindu sare vatsi Bhagavan kapila kila Maitre uvacha Pitari prastite ranyam Matu priya chikirshaya Tasmin bindu sare vatsi Bhagavan kapila kila Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya said, when Kardama Muni left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarovara to please his mother Devahuti. Maitreya said, repeat, Maitreya said, when Kardama left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarovara to please his mother, Devahuti. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the absence of the father, it is the duty of the grown son to take charge of his mother and serve her to the best of his ability so that she will not feel separation from her husband. And it is the duty of the husband to leave home as soon as there is a grown son to take charge of his wife and family affairs. That is the Vedic system of household life. One should not remain continually implicated in household affairs up to the time of death. He must leave. Family affairs and the wife may be taken charge of by a grown son. Om Agyanati Mananda Sagana Jana Salakaya Chaksurun Vaditam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svaparantrikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pango Mangayate Giyam Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarane. Lord Kapila was no ordinary son. He's counted among the avatars of Krishna. He took care of his mother in the best possible way. It is the system in the culture of the Hindus that, at least it was, that the mature son would care for the mother materially. At least he would protect her and act as a kind of husband. But in this instance, Lord Kapila Dev, who is the expounder of Sankhya philosophy, as a Shaktivesha avatar, enlightened Devahuti. He enabled her to become detached from the material world. Sometimes we think that we are victims of an advanced stage of the Kali Yuga. But actually, if we analyze the Kali Yuga and see that only 432,000 years has transpired, we're just above, a little above 1% into the Kali Yuga. So it's going to get much worse. Of course, it could get better before it gets worse. It's been predicted in the Puranas that the Hare Krishna movement will become very prominent in the beginning of the Kali Yuga. But the system of maintaining family affairs and the fallacy of being attracted by material sense enjoyment has been prominent in society for thousands of years. Even in other yugas, there was hatred, unnecessary killing, jealousy, attachment to sense objects, and many other allurements. It's very interesting that Lord Kapiladeva expounds how the living entity, later on we will read in the Bhagavatam, is suffering from the very beginning of life, even from within the womb. There's an explanation there of what life in the womb is like. One is in the womb when one acquires various objects such as hands and nose and the beginnings of consciousness. One is constricted in a very uncomfortable fetal position, and it's said in Prabhupada's purports that if one is very fortunate in that position in the womb, he prays to Krishna, "If only you'll let me out of this terrible condition where I have to smell my mother's gastric juices, where I cannot move, where I'm in a very tightly wound up bag, then I will never commit sinful activities again." So Prabhupada says that if he's fortunate, he remembers all of his sinful activities and he prays. There's been pictures of fetuses in this position. It looks like they're praying. Some scientists have developed photography where they can take pictures of the fetus in the womb. And the fetus is in this position. It's like a prayer position, making pranams with both hands together. So Prabhupada writes in the purports in the third canto that if that soul in that womb is very fortunate, he's actually praying to Krishna to be let out of this miserable condition. So it's not only death and old age and disease that are uncomfortable, but it is also birth that is uncomfortable. Janma mrityu vyadi. It's very uncomfortable, very unpleasant. So Lord Kapila describes that the condition in the womb is unpleasant, and then as soon as he comes out of the womb, he is crying, very unhappy to be in the material world. It's a very unpleasant experience. And then when the living entity is a baby, the baby cannot say to his parents, "Oh, I'm itching here, I'm hungry, or I'm thirsty, or I have a mosquito bite," because he can't talk. So he's very uncomfortable because he or she doesn't know how to express himself. Sometimes lying in a pool of perspiration. Very uncomfortable babyhood. And then he describes how when that baby grows out a little older, he's forced to go to school. And he doesn't want to go to school. Doesn't want to learn. Doesn't want to sit. But he's forced to do it. He's forced to do many things against his will. And then Lord Kapila explains how the infant grows older and older. And as the child grows older and older, he experiences so many difficulties of material life. Sometimes disease. There's the adhyatmic misery. Sometimes the mind is causing him great difficulty. Sometimes the body is causing great difficulties. Adibhotic. Sometimes other people are trying to kill him or trying to take his money or trying to take his wife. Or in some way causing him anxiety. And then adibhotic, sometimes there's floods, hurricanes, great heat, great cold, snow, rain, misfortune. So at every stage of life, Lord Kapila describes, there's always difficulties. These are called anitya. They are temporary difficulties. And he explains that life itself is temporary. That if one is fortunate, very fortunate, he can see that life is anitya, or temporary. And again, praise to Krishna. Please get me out of this material existence once and for all. So Lord Kapila is liberating his mother. He's not just taking care of her, protecting her from assault and evil and aggression. But he's enlivening her because she wants to know, how can I get out of this material entanglement? Because she was the wife of a great yogi, Kardama Muni, she had a sense that at some point in life, one has to leave this material world. That is not a place for a civilized human being to live. She had that great insight. And Kapila had the great ability as an incarnation of Krishna to explain that the material world is no place for a civilized human being to live. So it's also mentioned that Kapila stood on the strand of the Bindu Sarovara. The Bindu Sarovara lake is considered very sacred. I think it is located in somewhere in Bhubaneswar, I think.
Yes.
There's one also here. Huh?
This is not the same.
That's a different one. Anyway, there is a place in Bhubaneswar that's considered very sacred. That's the place where the Lord is said to have cried great tears of compassion, Bindu Sarovara, for Lord Shiva. And those tears became a great lake. And very purifying materially and spiritually. Even today, people sometimes want to go to places where there's said to be healing waters, where they can heal you. Places in Lourdes, there's places in Russia that are said to have waters that are very good for you, that can cure your varicose veins and all kinds of sicknesses if you dip into that water. So, Sarovara means lake and Bindu means drop. There's one in somewhere near Govardhan too, I think. Huh? Bindu Sarovara? I read somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, this is a very sacred place. And on Makar Sankranti in January, which is the place where Lord Kapila was supposed to have appeared, it's the mouth of the Ganges. There are many mouths of the Ganges. It is also a very sacred place. So there are many sacred places. And the indication is that sacred places are very important. Prabhupada wanted his disciples to visit Mayapur every year. Govardhan is a very sacred place, and Braj is a very sacred place. Even though only a very small percentage of people are actually true Krishna followers, still, to remain in the place of Krishna's manifest pastimes or Krishna's birth, Mathura, is considered very important. Of the many important things, residing in Mathura was considered to be one of the five most important things that you could do. Worship the deities, go on Sankirtan, take initiation, read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and live in a sacred place. And Prabhupada writes that there are many sacred places all over the universe, all over this world, not just in Mathura and Vrindavan and Braj. They are very sacred, but also in the temples of ISKCON, they're very sacred. Places in Australia and South Africa or South America or wherever, they're also very sacred places because they entail association with devotees. They become spiritualized. These great holy places of pilgrimage are kind of like toxic waste dumps for the consciousness. And it's been stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to Vidura that when saintly persons like Vidura and others like Prabhupada walk on these places, the ground becomes sacred. And they may be far, far away from Braj and far, far away from Govardhan and Varshana and Mathura, but because the saints, the great sages have set foot on these places, the ground has become holy and they have become sacred. So to situate ourselves in the association of devotees is like living in a holy place. It's like bathing in a holy river. And certainly they will purify us. So whether it's here in India, Prabhupada recommended it, or whether in the snows of Moscow or the many other materialistic places like New York and Los Angeles, these places are very sacred and very special. And the most important thing for the living entity to remember is that one must get out of the material world, that the material world is anitya, that the material world is a place of suffering, that the material world is no place for a gentleman or our lady or any civilized human being. So in this way, Lord Kapila enlivened his mother. He didn't simply protect her and didn't simply shelter her, but he enlivened her. He gave her the best gift. What is the best gift that we can give anyone? To give them the means to liberate themselves from this material world, to get out of the material world and to become situated in Krishna's lotus feet. Madhvacharya said that of the many kinds of liberation that exist, the best liberation is to attain our original position as the servitors of Krishna and remain atoms at his lotus feet. That is perfect liberation. So I think I'll close now, and anyone else wants to say something or ask, please do. I'll read the verse again. Maitreya said, when Kardama left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed on the strand of the Bindu Sarovara to please his mother, Devahuti. I just want to mention that pleasing someone ultimately means to show them how to get out of this material world, to prescribe the methods, to tell them what has to be done, to explain the procedures, to give them the correct philosophical understanding, how to become liberated, how to become fixed as Krishna's servants at his lotus feet. This is the most pleasing gift that we can give any other human being. So, did you speak to Vishwajit? No, that's good. Yes. Speak. Loud.
So he mentions example when wife husband have son. But what to do if there is no son but there is a daughter?
So the question is, what if there is no son in the family, only a daughter? There were two prongs, or two strands, we might say, of preaching that Prabhupada brought. One was to implant a culture in the West, and the other was to preach. Of the two, preaching was always more important to Prabhupada. He said we should take all risks for preaching. So if one becomes a preacher, Yaidam paramam guyam madbhakti shavideshiti, it is said in the Bhagavad Gita that there is no one more dear to Krishna than one who spreads this message. Surely that person will be sheltered and protected by Krishna. Son or no son. Daughter or no daughter. Husband or no husband. Shrotavan, Krishna is said to be our pati, our protector. Jayak pujascha nichida. Krishna is the supreme protector. So if we preach Krishna consciousness, Krishna will protect us. And he will act as our son. He will act as our husband, father, and eternal friend. Not everyone can have a son, but everyone can have Krishna. Okay. Krishna is no further away than this. Yes. This is becoming a Russian convention. Как вести себя, кого должен No comprende nada.
Sometimes we feel Krishna there. It happens so simple that somebody or some force wants to take Krishna from us and give us instead of Krishna something else material. So what we should do? Should we pray more since we were
So I think what she asked is that sometimes when we feel Krishna is getting close, sometimes someone wants to take Krishna away from us. So Prabhupada uses the word illusion a lot. Illusion means to think that there is something there when there is nothing there. Or sometimes a magician is called an illusionist or a prestidigitator. They are someone who can make it look like things appear and disappear. That's a magician. So Maya is a supreme magician. In the West, when people go to supermarkets, everything is very nicely wrapped up in plastic, even meat. And people don't realize what it is. It's disgusting. Insides of animals. So the human body is like that. It's disgusting insides wrapped up in skin. The weight of skin is just a very tiny percentage of the whole human body. But it's a kind of packaging that makes the body extremely attractive to people of the opposite sex. So much so that they're willing to ruin their lives over it. This is illusion. Because underneath the skin is nothing but blood and bones and organs and raw flesh and other things we won't mention. So Maya is a very good illusionist. Excellent illusionist. The best. But Krishna says, Daivi Hayesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya, that only by Mayam Etantarantite, only by surrendering to Krishna, can this great illusion be overcome. So the answer is yes, we have to pray constantly to Krishna to overpower Maya. Daivi Hayesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya. Every day. Actually, the Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer. And it's important to remember that when we say Hare Krishna, we're praying to Krishna, please let me always be engaged in your service. Please let me see reality and not Maya. Mam evaye prapadyante maya metantarantide. Let me surrender to you always. That way, I'll always be protected from the great illusion, the illusory energy, Prabhupada calls it. Anything else? So, we meet the Russian devotees from about, say, 10:30 on. Yeah, same place. These look like jasmine, but they have no scent. So many of them. Go ahead. You told them? Okay. Tuesday is Janmashtami. And Wednesday is Vyasa Puja. So we'll be fasting all day, get ready. On Tuesday up till midnight. And then I think you have an Ekadasi breakfast. Okay. I think many people will be going to Mathura, huh, on Janmashtami to see the birthplace of Krishna. I think you can go and see that Janmasthan anytime. Huh? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.